What's up, Resurrection Free Lutheran Church? It is so good to be with you today. Thank you, Jacob and Micah, for the worship. It was so good. If you don't recognize me, it's because I'm not Pastor Joel. My name is Luke Edlund. If you don't know who I am, I grew up going to Resurrection as a kid. Ended up going to Crown College, majoring in youth ministry. And now we are on the path, my wife and I, Kate, are on the path to plant a church in Buffalo, Minnesota. And we are so excited to do so. We actually just moved out to Buffalo just recently, and we are so excited to be here in the city of Buffalo. Soon to be training with Living Hope Free Lutheran Church out in Rogers, Minnesota with Pastor Jesse Neeland. And we're just psyched about that. Today for the message, we're going to be talking about Jacob wrestling with God. And that's in Genesis 32. If you have your Bible with you, open up to that. We'll be diving into it. But I want to preface this message by just telling a little bit of story about my wife and I that we've been through the last year here. We've been through two different miscarriages. One was with twins. A really difficult time for us. Really just a challenging time to go through. Just going through the excitement of being pregnant and expecting and being excited to be a dad, and my wife being excited to be a mom. My wife graduated with a degree in elementary education. I graduated with a degree in youth ministry. So we're both kid-oriented, student-oriented. And so we were so pumped to just start a family of our own. And when we got the news that we were going to miscarry, or that we did miscarry, it was just heartbreaking. We were absolutely broken. And the same went for the second time around. We were just broken, and we didn't know what was going on, and we felt like everything was just crashing down around us. We just felt helpless and angry and broken and confused at why this was happening to us. And I know that a lot of you feel the same way. Maybe you didn't go through a miscarriage. Maybe you went through a loss of a loved one. Maybe you lost your parent or your brother, your sister, and you're in that state of just feeling broken, feeling lost, feeling confused, feeling angry at God, maybe. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I don't have a formula that's going to make you feel better. I don't have something that's going to automatically heal you just like that. But I do have some words that I think we need to hear as a culture. I do have some words that I think we need to hear as broken people. So let's just open up in prayer here this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for everyone on the other side of that screen, Lord. Thank you for the ability that we have to communicate the gospel over digital mediums. I just thank you so much that we also have the opportunity now to meet in person. I thank you for those who are able to gather together and to be there as the church, as well as those who are at home, who may not feel comfortable. Lord, I just pray that you would just be their peace. You would be their comfort. And Lord, that we would just dive into your word and that you would speak this morning, and it wouldn't be me. In your name, amen. So we're going to dive into the story of Jacob wrestling with God. This is in Genesis chapter 32, but we're going to go through some context and get to where we're at in Genesis 32, where Jacob wrestles with God. So Jacob is one of the forefathers of Judaism. He's Isaac's son. So we'll go through a little bit about who Jacob is. Isaac is the son of Abraham, the father of Israel, essentially. So as we're diving into this, so Jacob received a promise from God to his parents that there was going to be angst between him and his brother Esau. So from the very beginning, before he was even born, he was wrestling. He was fighting from birth. Genesis 25:23. Two nations are in your womb, and the two peoples from within you shall be divided. One will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger. So even before his birth, Jacob's wrestling here. Even before his birth, he's set against his own brother Esau there. And so even with this promise from God that the younger is going to serve the older, Isaac, Jacob's father, chooses to ignore that. He says, well, my firstborn is going to receive my larger inheritance. My firstborn is going to receive my blessing, because that was the culture of the time. Your firstborn was the one who received the blessing from the father. So Isaac chose to ignore God's promise that that the younger was going to serve the older. And then they named
Jacob, as he was grabbing the heel. But another translation of Jacob is trickster, which, you know, tricksters are cheaters, they're liars. And so from his birth, he was already being called a liar, already being called a cheater. That was just ingrained in him from the fiber of his being, really. And they're just not setting him up for success. You know, I met people in high school where they were just, so many things were expected of them, and they were negative things, and even if they weren't those things, they eventually would become them because everyone expected it of them. And so that's really the story of Jacob. So because of this, because he was promised blessing and it was given to Esau because his father Isaac favored Esau over Jacob, he felt like he needed to get what was his. He felt like he needed to get that blessing that God had promised him, and his mother was on his side. This is why I love Scripture, because you can't make this stuff up. This is real life. Family dynamics are messy. They're not clean. It really doesn't, I don't know. If you were creating a false story, you would not create these people so messed up. So I love that, the realism in Scripture, because it's true. Family dynamics are really messy. And so you look at Isaac's family dynamic. He was favoring one son over the other. Esau, this guy, is a beefy dude. He's hairy. That's what Esau means. He's a man's man. I think of like an Andrew Thompson when I think of Esau. Just a man's man. You know, he's wearing boots while he's swimming. That kind of guy. And so that's what I think of when I think of Esau. And then when I think of Jacob, I think of the kid at youth group that's struggling a little bit and acting out, because he's just looking for the love maybe that he doesn't get at home. And as a youth pastor or as a youth minister, I don't claim to be an expert or anything, but what I do know is usually the kids that are acting out the most are the kids that really, really need the love the most. Because maybe they're not getting it at home, maybe they're getting it for a bad version of it at home. And so usually those kids that are struggling the most are the kids that are really seeking attention, really seeking your approval and your love, even if it doesn't seem like that. And so that's what I see when I see Jacob, this guy that's cheating and he's lying to be able to get that blessing, but to be able to get approval, be able to get love. And he's looking for love from his dad, because his dad is clearly showing favoritism towards his bigger, manlier brother. And so I sympathize with Jacob. I really do here. But yeah, so their family dynamics are just messed up. And then in Genesis 25:29-34, Esau makes the worst trade in history. And I think of, if you guys are, you know, longtime Minnesota Vikings fans, you might remember Herschel Walker for the kitchen sink. Was it in the 80s, I think, where Herschel Walker was this really good running back for the Cowboys, but he was kind of on the tail end of his career, and the Vikings really, they wanted to get a hold of him, and so they traded 5 players and I believe 8 draft picks for this one guy, and I think they got a couple picks out of it from the Cowboys. That was on the tail end of his career. Many people see it as one of the worst trades that the Vikings ever made. And so this trade is on par with that. This is Genesis 25:29-34. Once Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. What use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." And he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew and ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So this is the worst trade in history. He gave up his birthright, his respect, his the honor that was bestowed upon them with the birthright, He gave that up for a pot of stew. But honestly, I understand this at times, because when you are tired and when you are hungry, you make the worst decisions. I honestly can't go shopping when I'm tired and hungry, because I will get the things that look the best but are the worst for you. This is the case here when Esau just had a really long day of work, I'm sure, and he got back. He's like, I just want some stew. I don't care about a birthright now, and just made this horrible, horrible trade. And so again, this pattern continues of Jacob cheating and lying his way into the blessing and approval of his father. Later on, he does the same to his father Isaac. He tricks Isaac into giving him his birthright that is owed to the firstborn of the family. Now, this whole situation is already messed up because Isaac ignored the promise from God that the younger was going to succeed the older, that the older would serve the younger. But on top of that, his mother is just egging Jacob on and just telling him, like, all right, I think that you deserve this because God's promised it to you, and helps him basically trick Isaac into giving him his birthright. Isaac's this old guy at this point. He's blind. He can't really see. He just did some tricks that Esau normally did. He made him some venison and gave him his meat, and then wore a goat skin because Esau was so hairy. And so this is how he tricked Isaac into giving him his birthright. But it's that same pattern of deceit and craftiness. This is brokenness. This is the sinful nature that we have. But because of this, Esau hates Jacob. Because Esau hates Jacob, Jacob is so scared of Esau. So he runs away, and there's a lot in between this, but this is what I want to focus on, this tension between Esau and Jacob as Esau returns. God tells Jacob that he needs to return and that he will give him that blessing. And Jacob does so, but in a terrifying manner. He does very, very cautiously. He divides up his own company into two so that if Esau kills one, maybe the other one will survive. He is so scared that Esau is just going to destroy everything because he honestly earned it. and so he's just terrified of him. Context here is important because we see that Jacob wrestled his entire life leading up to this moment. He's wrestling before birth. God put him at odds with his brother. He was wrestling when he ran away from his brother and he went into his uncle's family, and the whole messed up situation where his uncle tricked him, gave him a little taste of his own medicine. But he was wrestling this entire time, just trying to find that approval, trying to find that love, trying to find what he needed from his father. So the night before he was heading out, this is the context of our passage for the day. Genesis 32, starting at verse 22. And this is the one I want to dive into here. The same night he rose and he took his two wives, his female servants, and his 11 wives, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford into the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else he had was Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and prevailed." But Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." And he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him, and Jacob so called the name of the place Peniel. saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him, and he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he was touched out of the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. So some of you might remember, I wrestled in high school. Josh as well wrestled in high school. A six-minute match can be just as exhausting as a full game of a lot of other sports. It's an incredibly taxing sport. 6 minutes can be just as exhausting as, you know, 45 minutes of active exercise. It's really, really tough. And you learn a lot through a lot of discipline from wrestling. It wasn't my favorite sport, but I learned so much from it. And one thing that I did to try and save energy was I tried to just get up a few points and then stall out the rest of the match, because I was not in good shape. And so I'd just get up or maybe get up by 3 or 4 points and then just not let him do anything. Jacob here in this passage wrestles with God the entire night. Hours long he's wrestling with God. I can't even imagine this, because after 6 minutes of wrestling, I was wanting to throw up. This is an incredibly taxing situation for Jacob, but he will not give up. He will not give up. And I just thought that was so interesting, the fact that he's so determined. And I think it's just because he's been so broken his entire life. He just needs this love, this approval, and he's not getting it in the things he's seeking out. When he found his father and tricked him into giving his blessing, he didn't get the love and approval he was seeking for. When he went and found a wife in his uncle's house, he didn't get the love and approval he was seeking for. He didn't get any of that. But now he's in a place where he's literally wrestling with God. And I believe that at this moment, Jacob realizes that this is the only place where he can get that love and approval. And the only place that he could actually get what he actually desired, what his heart was searching for, the hole in his heart was looking for God. And so even when he touches his hip and it places it out of his socket, which I can't even imagine the pain that would put you in, he doesn't stop. He keeps wrestling him. I can't imagine what he's going through right now, but he knows that this is the only way he'll ever get the blessing that he's been looking for his entire life, the love and affection of a Savior. And so he says, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." That's the passion, that's the desire that he's coming at God with. And God proceeds to bless him. Jacob had been wrestling his entire life, fighting, looking for the love and approval for his father, looking for beauty and blessing in Rachel, but not realizing that none of it would be enough. The hurt, the rejection, the pain, it all came down to this moment. Jacob had been looking for God in all of his wrestling, and he had finally found him, and he would never let go. I think that Jacob would never have made this realization, that he would never come to this point in his life, if he hadn't gone through the pain and suffering of being rejected by his father, if he hadn't gone through the pain and suffering of being rejected by his uncle, by being tricked and lied to. If he hadn't gone through those horrible things, I don't think he ever would have realized the value. I don't think he ever would have seen the weight of the blessing that he was looking for. I think that's true with us as well. And while I think of the example of Jesus on the cross, and while that example is very specific, because that was the atonement for our sin, but I think God does the same with us when he takes us and he puts us through really difficult things that are incredibly hard to go through, and then he uses that for good. I think of the story of Joseph being sold into slavery, a horrible situation, but God turned it around and used it for good. The ultimate triumph over evil isn't the destruction of it, it's the using that evil for good. That's the ultimate triumph of evil is using that evil for the good of others. One of my favorite preachers, Tim Keller, quotes that no one learns who they truly are by being told. They need to be shown. I just find this so true in my own life. I grew up in the church here, and it was an amazing experience, but even so, you still have to go through a time of being tested. You still have to go through a time of making that faith your own. If you're told your identity your whole life and you're never actually truly shown, I believe that you don't truly know who you are. So I just want to close with these final points here. I got 3 points. Number one, your life will not be transformed for Jesus without some form of suffering or wrestling. At very least, it's not going to be strengthened unless you go through some form of suffering or wrestling. If you've never experienced any kind of discomfort in your faith when it comes, will you be prepared to contend for your faith? Jude 1:3 talks about contending for your faith. It's not a passive act. We don't say the prayer and then wait the clock out until we pass away or until Jesus comes back. It's an active thing. Our faith is active. So we're not just sitting around waiting. We're giving our life to Jesus in every aspect of who we are. Point number two is one of our biggest struggles is seeing, asking questions, and wrestling with God as positive things. Another thing, when I was growing up, being a pastor's kid, felt like I needed to have it all together. Felt like I needed to have all the answers, and if they came to me, then I'd be able to give them the right answer. And so it's tough to take on a stance of wrestling with God, or tough to take on a stance of being vulnerable and saying, well, I don't know how this works out. I don't know how this theology connects when you want to have it all together. So this view of seeing wrestling with God as challenging things that you've thought and you've believed as a positive thing, and as a way to grow versus a weakness, as I saw it for so many years. You have to risk being wrong to grow. And number three, the last point I want to close with, I believe that believers with true joy walk with a limp. After Jacob wrestled with God, and God touched his hip socket and took it out of place, he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life. And I bet you if you asked him if he would take it back so that he could not walk with a limp, I don't think he would even think about that. Sometimes in our pain and our hurt and our suffering, we're going to get scarred. We're going to get injured, and it's going to hurt. But if that's what points us to Jesus, if that's what gives us the what we need to be focused on him, I think that's exactly what we need to be focused on. And so I think that true believers with real joy walk with a limp. They've been through some stuff, and it's pointed them to Jesus. So I just have 3 questions for you. Will you wrestle with God? Will you contend for your faith?
And will you commit to grow and not be passive? Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we have the opportunity to grow and become closer to you. I pray that you would help us to see these hurts and these pains in our lives as not things that are just meaningless pain, but as something that you are allowing in our lives to bring us closer to you, something that is maybe evil as it seems, but you are turning around and using for your good, for the good of those who love you. We love you and we praise you. In your name, amen. Thanks, guys. It's been fun hanging out with you this morning. If you guys want to stay up to date with the church plant in Buffalo, I do have a YouTube channel and I post vlogs about what we're doing. And so if you want to stay up to date, that's called Grow Down Media. So I got my plug in there. So you guys have a great day and we'll see you next time.